good to see you tonight. I'm excited to be sharing word with you tonight. And as I was just thinking about starting and a little fun, I thought of this story that I might share with you. A story about a pastor who was talking to his congregation one Sunday morning, and he said, "I just wanted to explain all the Band-Aids on my face." He said, "As I was shaving, I was thinking about my sermon while shaving, and I cut my face." So later that day, as they're counting the offering, there's a note that says, "Dear Pastor, next time we suggest you think about your face and cut your sermon." So I'll try not to have the eternal word tonight, and hopefully it won't be too long. But it's a word on my heart about how to stand strong when the battle's on. You know, there are times when life throws us a curveball, when something happens we did not expect. How many of you are there right now? Several hands in the room. So when these things happen, we have to be prepared. We need to be prepared for that and handle it according to the principles of God's Word. So what does God want us to know in times of trouble? What does He want to say to us? How does He want us to handle it? Tonight we're going to be looking in 1 Samuel chapter 30 at a wonderful verse, and we're going to kind of unpack a little bit of the story, but some principles about how to stand strong when the battle's on. And we're going to see that God wants you to know that when the enemy hits you, it's not over. It's not finished. God is still working. He is on your side, and He will guide you through that time if you will just walk with Him. There are things that we can do when life throws us that curveball, when we get hit by the enemy, that will help us to more successfully navigate those times. So we're in 1 Samuel 30 tonight, and I'm going to back that up just a minute. Sorry. We find David at age 29, and we find that it's been almost 13 years since he was anointed by Samuel. "You're going to be the king of Israel." As a young boy, 17 years old, he has this amazing experience. Many of you have heard that story. And so now he's gone through a decade of being chased by Saul. He's had all these experiences, many negative things, many times when he had to battle through. And we find that he was with his 600 men that we know the Bible tells us he had this scraggly group of guys that had gathered around him. And in 1 Samuel, we find them, we're going to pick up in verse 1, we find Daniel and his men at a place called Ziklag. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. That was the place they had been camped out where they were living, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from great to small. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. You can just imagine how that would have felt. David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, had been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed. And the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, because every man was grieved for his sons and his daughters. And tonight, we're going to look at this next verse, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord and said, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook where those who stayed with him were left behind. And David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 men stayed behind because they were so weary they couldn't cross the brook. You see, they had been on a three-day journey to get back to Ziklag. So after this three-day journey, they're exhausted. They come to the city. All their possessions are gone. Everything is burned. All their family members are gone. They weep till they can't weep anymore. David gets a word from the Lord. Pursue them. You're going to get it all back. So as they start to go, some of the guys were just too weary, 200 of them, they had to leave behind. And then skipping down to verse 16, you can catch up on the rest of the story when you have time. And when they brought him down, there they were, spread out all over the land. This is the Amalekites, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. So David comes, he finds the people who had burned down their community, who had taken in the wives, taken all the possessions, and they are having a huge party. They are celebrating, they are drinking, they're dancing. They don't even know that David is there with all of his men. So David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except for 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken from them. David recovered all. So we want to take this story because the Bible tells us that these things are taught for our examples. So we want to take this story and apply it. What are the principles that we can apply to our lives when we get hit by the enemy? So the first thing I want to say to you is simply, you have a spiritual enemy. Now we know that David had enemies. He had some enemies. One, because he'd been anointed to be king. Two, because he'd made some mistakes along the way. Three, some people were just jealous. David had some enemies for sure. But you also have some spiritual enemies. Biblically, we're taught about this spiritual warfare that we are in, and we all need to be aware of this spiritual battle. You have a spiritual enemy, and you're spiritual battle that you're in, the enemy wants to hit your community, your family, everything about you, just like he did David. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you have an adversary, and we're told who he is. It is the devil, and he is seeking to devour you, just like he hit David and all of his men. What do we do about this? There are things that we can do to encounter the enemy successfully. I want you to know that when the enemy hits you, a couple of things are true here. You can become very vulnerable. And the hit that you take also makes you vulnerable. So just like David and his men, they were tired and all these terrible things happen and they're weak, they're discouraged. You can become really vulnerable when the enemy hits you. So this is important to know because how many of you know if we're vulnerable, we've got to get some protection, right? We've got to get some prayer covering. We've got to some things that we're going to have to do so that we can survive this hit of the enemy, because we don't want to just roll over and give in to the plans of the enemy. So you can become very vulnerable. Notice that. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary is trying to destroy you. They were tired. They come up to the city. It's burned. Women, children gone. It was a very vulnerable time for David. And all the people who had been following David, who had been his guys, now turn on him. Everything is lost. And they're talking about stoning him. And David knew it was on him. He was the one who said, let's go live in Ziklag. He was the one that moved them to this place. He was the one who sent them out on this battle when they were all gone and their city was attacked. So it's on David, and he knows it. So he's weeping. He's broken. He's led the people into this time, and now they're in a tragedy. They've been hit by the enemy. He was responsible. Can you imagine David there in the smoke, in the ashes, wondering where are our family, where are our wives, where are our children? What have they done to them? Perhaps terrible things have happened to them. We are thankful they're not dead. We don't see their dead bodies, so that's good. But where are they, and what's being done to them? So there's a lot of turmoil here. And it is a hard time for David, because he had this time when he had this prophetic word spoken over his life, and yet here he is looking at what looks like to be the exact opposite of what God had said. How many of you have ever been in a time when what you expected from God, what you thought he told you, didn't happen? As a matter of fact, it looked like everything but that had happened, the exact opposite. It didn't look like David was king, did it? It didn't look like he had been anointed king. It looked like he was a failure. He'd led his people into utter failure. Samuel was dead. It was a vulnerable time. So we have to be sober and vigilant when the enemy hits us, because we can become very vulnerable. You need some people who will stand with you, some people who will pray with you. You need your community of faith with you when the enemy hits. That's a good reason for you to be in a community of faith, because there are times when you're going to be hit by the enemy. And interestingly, the next point is you may actually have to stand alone for a while in your battle. David is alone for a while here. He, I believe, starts to seek the Lord. We know that he does in just a moment. But he's alone. Everybody else has turned on him. One man with 600 men who are ready to stone him. The guys who have followed him, all of a sudden ready to stone him. He has some decisions to make. How is he going to handle this? Well, there was a plan. We know he turned to the priest. He talked to the priest, and he said, bring that ephod. And he got a word from God. But temporarily, David had to stand by himself. I think this is really important, because there comes a time when your faith has to be your faith. And it's not your mama's faith, and it's not your daddy's faith, and it's not your husband's faith, and it's not your community of believers' faith, but it's yours. God puts you to the test. Now, I'm not saying every bad thing that happens is from God, but there are times your faith is tested, and it's you and God. What will you do? What will you choose when this happens? David turned to God. You might have to stand alone. But he didn't have to stand alone for too long, because when David got the word from God, go pursue them, you're going to overtake all. When David started following the path that God gave him, they started following David again. So David, as a leader, the leader of the men, gets the word from God, and he shares the word, and he starts out to pursue the Amalekites. And then he has the guys on his side again. But sometimes in a trial, it can be lonely. It can be hard. It can be times when you feel like you are by yourself. And I think it's then when God is testing your faith. Will you believe? Will you trust? How deep is what you believe? How deep is your faith? How deep is your trust? It is a test. Ziklag was a test for David and for his men. When you're in these trials, I want to say to you, don't take the enemy's bait. This is a large part of what I wanted to say to you tonight, is that there is bait that the enemy offers you when you are in a trial. Now, we know what bait is, right? We know if we're fishing, you know what bait is? We cover the hook. We hide the hook. And we fish. We put the bait out there. We want to tempt the fish to take the bait. The fish doesn't know there's a hook, right? That's the way the enemy will try to take you out. I was thinking about clickbait. How many of you know what clickbait is? We get clickbait now on our computers, on our devices, and it's this bait that pops up there, and it wants to get you to click it. And it might say something like, "You won't believe what happened to this person," or "Hear this amazing story," or whatever. And as soon as you click it, you're in trouble because you've just maybe downloaded a virus, possibly. You've gotten into a scam. There's something bad that happens when you take the clickbait. But when you are in a trial, I promise you the enemy is going to put some clickbait in front of you and want you to take it. What does the clickbait look like? You can't trust God. God doesn't love you. You're a failure. All these kind of things, they are clickbait that the enemy is just putting there for you to grab. Once you grab them, you're infecting your soul, your spirit, with a spiritual virus of sorts that can take you out. So you must know that if you are in a trial, you got to watch for the bait, because Satan not only wants to hit you, he wants to take you all the way out. So he's going to follow the hit with more bait to take you further down. You've got to watch for the bait. It's desperate times when you're in a trial. You can't afford to take the clickbait. When you are being hit by the enemy, it is not the time for you to say, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" It ain't the time, folks. You don't have the luxury to do this kind of stuff when you're being hit by the enemy, because the enemy is sending you clickbait. Now, when you're in a good place and life is good, if you want to explore why the bad things happen to good people, go for it. But when you're hit in a trial, you've got to guard your mind. You've got to guard your heart. You cannot take the bait of the enemy, because if you do, he will take you out. He's going to set you back further than you want to go. You must avoid this. It's not the time to take that kind of bait. What about David? It was such a key time in David's life. It was a pivotal time in David's life. What would have happened if he'd taken the bait? Don't you know that the enemy was accusing him? "You did this. You led the people here. This was your decision. If we hadn't had all the guys gone, Ziklag wouldn't have been hit. Our families wouldn't have been gone." The enemy was accusing him right and left. His people were accusing him right and left. It was a difficult time for David. And what did he do? We know that he turned to the Lord. I can just imagine him kneeling down in that smoke and in that ashes with tears running down his cheeks and praying. What do you think we don't know everything he did, but I know David from the scriptures, and I know he probably had a little song in the back of his heart. He probably had the word, because that's who he was, rehearsing it, you know, in his heart. God was ministering to him, I'm sure, through the Holy Spirit, even though he initially was alone. He was in a trial. He did not take the enemy's bait. How many times do you and I, when the enemy hits us, take the bait before we realize what's going on? And we start to feel sorry for ourselves. Maybe we got self-pity, maybe fear, maybe doubt. We take the bait that the enemy's offering, and it begins to grow in our heart and produce something that we don't need, something that's going to take us down a wrong path. So it's very important that when you're in a trial, you cannot take the bait. It is at this place where you have a choice. You can choose God. You can choose the enemy. You could choose fear. You can choose faith. You have a choice when you're in these trials and the enemy has hit you and the enemy is dangling his bait in front of you. It's your choice now. What will you choose? Will you choose a path that leads you to life and strength and health like David did? Or will you choose what the enemy is offering you? You need to be able to identify it so that you don't take that bait. It's at these times when we got to get our feet on solid ground, people. We got to say, even though I'm in this trial, God is good. Even though the enemy has hit me, God loves me. Even though I'm in tons of pain right now and I'm weeping my heart out, God is for me and not against me. We have to stand on what's true and stand on the Word of God when we're in these trials so that we make it through to the other side like David did. This is an example for us. If we partner with fear, the enemy will take us out. David turned to God and got a strategy to overcome. He dried his tears, got up out of the ashes, and started moving forward with what God told him to do. What do you think would have happened if David had taken the bait? Where would we be today? If David had taken the bait, what he didn't know was that he was 3 days away from Saul dying and him being crowned king. You may be in a battle that looks so hopeless, so difficult, so tough that you're disillusioned, you're confused, you're disoriented, and you may be right on the verge of what God has told you is going to happen in your life. So you can't give up. It's not the time to give up. It's not the time to be depressed. It's not the time to feel sorry for yourself. It's the time to dig in and let your faith arise, because God wants to bring victory in your life. Ziklag was a place between prophecy and destiny. 13 years from the prophecy, the destiny was just right. It was so close. But David didn't know that. You may be right on the verge of your destiny opening up in front of you. Don't give up just because you've been hit by the enemy. None of us want to be hit by the enemy. It's not fun. It's difficult. It's trying. It's discouraging. It tests our faith. Of course we don't want to be hit. However, when we're hit, we have tools that we can use to be victorious. We can overcome. And that is what David did. Turn to God. Just let me share this scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, we're not to be ignorant of his devices. So as believers, the scripture says we can actually be ignorant of the ways of the enemy and not aware of what he's trying to do in these situations. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices. So we need to know the Word of God. We need to know the Spirit of God. We need to know the ways of God. David did. He walked with God. He wasn't perfect. He had had his mistakes. But he walked with God. He knew the ways of God. And he wasn't ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, coming to the scripture that I told you we wanted to look at tonight, the next principle is this. Turning to God will give you the strength, wisdom, and peace that you need when the enemy hits. Some of the translations say David strengthened himself. Some says he encouraged himself. Some said he became strong. The word means to be strong, strengthen, prevail, be courageous. You can strengthen yourself in the Lord when the enemy hits. That's your choice. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says you can be pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both. Now, they had some real pain. It was really difficult. You know, wives and children are gone. Everything's lost. But that was that choice. Will I step into the power of God, to this word that God's given, and recover all? Turning to God will give you the strength that you know that you need. David called on God. In one psalm, he says, in my distress, later he wrote this, in my distress, I called to the Lord. In your distress, that's what you got to do, folks. You got to call on the Lord. Have you ever found yourself calling everybody else first? Call your friend, you talk to your spouse, you're doing all this stuff and realize all of a sudden you haven't even talked to the Lord about it. Turn to God. He will give you what you need when you've been hit by the enemy. He called on God. The next time you're hard-pressed and you're in a terrible place, don't reason with yourself. Don't trust in your own gifts. Go after God, just like David did. He said, get me that ephod. They used the ephod to hear from God in the Old Testament. It was a gracious way that God had given for them to be able to hear from him. But guess what? In the New Testament, we've got so much better way. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us. So when you need to hear from God, which is every day, he's right there with you, never leaving you, never forsaking you, willing to talk to you, willing to teach you, willing to comfort you, willing to lead you, willing to strengthen you. And this is what we need. He called on God. When the crisis hit, he went straight to God. When your crisis hit, do you go straight to God? It's a challenge for us. It's the same response he had in chapter 23. He'd come straight to God. He was drawing on God's word, drawing on that prophetic promise. I imagine a part of David was saying, wait a minute, this can't be it. This can't be all that is, because I remember Samuel calling me out, pouring that oil on my head, anointing me. I remember God's Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. He was going to make me king of Israel. This cannot be all it is. So he rose up in faith, called on the Lord, got the word, and moved forward and had great victory. I believe David remembered some defining moments in his life. We know he spent those young years laying out there under the stars, writing songs, taking care of the sheep. He had a deep well to draw on. We're told in the New Testament he's a man after God's own heart. So he had a lot of things to draw upon. He remembered his past experiences with God. we can deduce from that we need to be walking from God so that we have experiences with God, so that we have a story with God that we can draw upon in times when we're tested, so that we have our own story of faith. Very important. And lastly, there was that last part of that scripture. I'm sorry, I quoted it to you, but I didn't put it on the screen. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. God will turn your mourning into dancing. Nobody else can do this for you. But you serve a God who can show up in your trial, bring you through it, and turn your mourning into dancing. Psalm 30, David wrote this: "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." God can do that for you. When David got his word from God, it was a done deal as far as he was concerned. When he got that word, you're going to go after them and you're going to recover all. I don't think he doubted anymore. He had faith. God has got this. And this is the message to you tonight. God has got it. He has got it when you're in a trial. If you'll turn to him, if you'll walk with him, if you'll pray like David did, if you'll seek the Lord like David did, you're going to come out in victory just like David did. Because that's who our God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be the same for you as he was for David. He loves you just like he loved David. He is for you. He is not against you. You see, there's a moment when the battle shifts. How many of you have been in a spiritual battle and all of a sudden, you know, it's shifted? There's a moment when your spiritual battles shift. There's a moment when the fourth man shows up in the fire. There is a moment when the lions go to sleep. God closes their mouth. There's a moment when the angel wakes you up and the chains fall off. Folks, there is a moment when the battle shifts. If you don't give up, if you keep on keeping on, if you seek the Lord, God will strengthen you and you'll find yourself in victory. You'll find yourself on the other side of the battle and you'll be looking back at it. It won't be your present moment anymore. It will be your past. That's a good moment. That's a good moment when it's your past. Everything the enemy took, every single thing the enemy took, David got back. God restored it, every bit. So 3 days later, Saul's killed in battle. David's declared king. David is in victory just 3 days after great crisis, great tragedy, great grief, great problems. You never know when the battle's going to shift. Sometimes it's longer than that. I'm not going to pretend that there aren't longer battles. There are longer battles. But there are times when you are so close to your battle shifting. Don't give up. Keep turning to God. Build your faith. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. I've heard the saying that you can't fail if you don't quit. So if you can't fail because God's for you, if you don't quit. If you're in zigzag, folks, don't give up, because zigzag is temporary. It is not your permanent dwelling. If you're in a battle, it's temporary. It will not last forever. Don't give up. Ziklag will be part of your testimony, but it will be the testimony of how God brought you through, how God brought you out, how God restored all to you, because His heart for you is the same. So if you get hit, remember that it's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not God. And remember, God won't leave you. If you'll turn to Him, He'll give you the word that you need to get through. He'll give you what you need to come out on the other side. Just be wise about Satan's devices. Don't take his bait. Do the things you need to do, because the greater one lives inside you. He is faithful. He is true. He has all power. He knows everything. He is for you. So tonight we're going to ask our altar workers to come. And for some of you, maybe you've had some sort of zigzag happening. There's been some sort of trial that has hit you. And you've kind of lost your bearings. You're not moving on the word of the Lord. You're not going to God in prayer. Tonight, I encourage you to spend some time with God at the altar. Get someone to pray with you as we stand. Prayer workers are coming. Prayer altar workers are coming. Maybe you need to pray for somebody else who you think is at zigzag. Maybe tonight the Lord will put somebody on your heart that you need to call, text, pray with, and let them know that God says He's going to strengthen you if you will turn to Him. He will strengthen you. You can find strength in the Lord. So whatever your needs are tonight, we just invite you to respond to whatever the Lord's saying to you, and encourage you that if you find yourself in a trial, it's not all there is. Don't give up. There's a better day coming. There's a day of victory coming. God's prophetic promises over your life are still true. Hang on. Keep battling. So just respond as the Lord leads you.
You bring restoration. You bring restoration. You bring restoration. To my soul, you bring restoration. You bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul.
Lord, to restore anything to you.
Hallelujah. and you bring restoration. You bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. You bring restoration. You bring restoration. You bring restoration.
Hold your hands up to the Lord. Lord, we thank you that we're not in this alone, but that your Holy Spirit strengthens us, teaches us, leads us, comforts us. We thank you that you take us from glory to glory, Lord. And so I pray for the ones here who have had a difficult season, that you would encourage them tonight, that they would find strength in your word, and that they would begin to strengthen themselves in you, Lord, through prayer, through worship, through your word, through joining with the community of believers, Lord. I just pray that no one would be isolated from their family of faith that would give them strength. We thank you for victory because of who Jesus is. And for your good, good plans, Lord, for our lives and the life of our community, our church. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. The trials never last, Lord, but you do. We ask these things in your name tonight. And all God's people said, amen.
We give the Lord a hand for the word tonight. Aren't you grateful you can encourage yourself in the Lord? That's such a good word. Before we go, I want to honor our granddaddy pastor, whose birthday is today. And we love you so much. I'm so glad you were born. You're such a blessing. Thank you all for being here tonight. God bless you. And the altar's still open if you need prayer.